Well, greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight to the Shepherd's Call. We've got a good one lined up for you. Praise Yahweh. We're so glad to have you among us here tonight. Praise Yahweh. We are in the 27th day of the month of June. It's getting away, folks. We are coming up on the month of July. Praise Yahweh. And a time of rejoicing and praising the Father by searching the Word. Now we're going to Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to take a look at the Scriptures, for there is a Scripture here that we're very interested in, and it is the promise of the eternal inheritance. So we're going to look for inheritance, and the things that we are looking for is by tonight we're going to entitle a message, The Pattern of Things in Heaven, or Things to Come that are going to be in heaven. Now, we've been talking all week about Sabbath, and tonight's no exception. We're going there because we feel like that the seventh-day Sabbath is a holy commandment. Now, remember the seventh day and keep it holy. The first covenant now that was issued to us contained ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. So then, the covenant that we're going to look into, the second into the second of the most holy, with the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time of the present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience. Isn't that a remarkable statement? Which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now, you know, we are the messengers of good things to come. Well, what is to come? What is the pattern of those things that are to come? Well, it says here that to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Well, now, where's the tabernacle at, Pastor Buddy? Where does he dwell today? Well, the Bible said he dwelleth not in temples made by hands. And so then we understand that Christ will come and dwell in his people. That is, so be if they will believe on him and love him and keep his commandments. And that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. And now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. And so then we are in the new covenant era of time. This covenant is that God, according to Hebrews chapter 8, that he's talking about, for this is the covenant that thou will make with them after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my laws into their mind and write them into my laws. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not under the law, then the law has to be in you. Because he said, I will write my laws, or I will put my laws, or I will make my laws with the house of Israel, and then I will put them into their mind. And now, which mind does he put them in? He puts them into the spiritual mind, and the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, the flesh has to come and submit. As the high priest continually had to go in and offer blood for the heirs of himself and the people. In this case, you come boldly before the Father with a not a defiled conscience, because it was hard for the conscious man in that priesthood, because this man was not a continual priest, but the one that we've got now hath an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also to save them to the uttermost, able to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, since he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became to us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up a sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the others. This he did once, when he offered up himself. For this law maketh men nigh priest, or maketh men priest nigh, high priest nigh, which have infirmity, but the word of oath, which was since the law, can maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Now these are the sums of the things that we have spoken. Such a high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which Yahweh pitched and not man. Now, what does that mean, Pastor Bud? It means that we are developing a pattern here and showing you that God's laws, eternal as they are taken out of the carnal man under the law and put into the inward being, the spirit man or the spirit mind, where that they can now feed you conscious information up to the conscious level of the third dimension, from the fifth dimension of the spirit mind, where he dwells in the fifth dimension, and then by becoming partakers of the divine covenant, you can please God. Now, there has to be a better hope, for the law made nothing perfect. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to be perfect before you can come in. Well, are you perfect in the flesh? Of course not, because the weakness of the flesh is unprofitable before God, in the sense that it is not the flesh that he chooses to work through. Although he works through the spirit, the flesh man has to become weak before he can work in it. Now, he told Paul, Paul, your flesh, your weakness of your flesh is made perfect by my strength. And so then when you weaken down to where that you can no longer bear your own sins or your own burdens through conscious of heart, and then you need a burden reliever, or you need to come out or escape the pollutions of the world, because the Bible says that there is a way that seemeth right, and so then you must follow the forerunner who is entered and made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so now we're looking at a pattern. Now, for those priests were made without an oath. Isn't that amazing? Did you know that those priests were under the law in so much that without an oath, he was made priest? There was no oath sworn that only to this high priest here, the one who has an eternal priesthood. And so therefore, we must adopt and adapt to the pattern of the Melchizedek covenant. Now, we're talking about patterns here, and we're going to give you that scripture here in the pattern covenant, praise Yahweh, as we look for the patterns and the covenants of the Father, things that we must do as a pattern to enter into the holiest of holies. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9 and look at the pattern covenant. And we're looking for things that we could do to please God. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure that if you're just moseying along, as the old saying goes, and you're waiting, for something to happen, some big event to happen, while every second of your life ticks away, and you sit idly by waiting for some miraculous something to happen for you, when it be happening is up to you. If it's to be, it's up to me. Isn't that the old saying? And your faith, now listen to this, this is something you need to grab in your spirit. Your faith will never rise above the level of your confession. So then, there is a level of your confession, and without faith, the Bible said it's impossible to please God, and that he's looking for the oath of reason to come before him, stood worthy, washed, and made nigh by the grace of that living will dwell in them, and I will put my laws into their inward being, and they shall... And so then, here we are in 9:23. Close attention to the reading of God's holy word. It was the powers of those things in heavens should be purified, the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice to the pattern of the scriptures for the performance. The Bible said he that cometh to God must believe that he is God and that we seek him, and without faith it's impossible to please him. So I'm sure you will. Faith is an action statement. A is action, B is belief, and C, you meet someone that's full of faith, the first thing that you'll notice about him, he's an action around playing mama peg or chess, or he's looking into the deep, fasting. He's reading his Bible. He's searching the scriptures daily for his business. He has put on the whole armor. He's working in the light of the light, entering at the straight gate, and he's keeping up on the spotted forms of faith. Now, we're looking for patterns here, and you'll know what John said. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. In other words, the Satan. And you know what, please, Satan? The strength of the law. And so then God had to nail shut to us and removing them out of our way that we may appear accuser. You see, Satan was the prosecuting attorney while Christ was at your right hand, and David said, I shall always foresaw God at my right hand. And faith of a pattern of a development of a process, that without faith it's impossible to raise up there. And we're going to the 43rd of Ezekiel. Afterward he brought me to the gate, look, and behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was shined with his glory. And so, now, verse 5, and so the Spirit took me up, worship him, must worship him in spirit and truth. John 4:20, Spirit caught me up and brought me into the inner court. Now, where is the inner court? The inner being of your temple is where God has to dwell. Christ in you, the hope of glory. How do you get Christ? Is there a pattern that will bring God down from heaven? Because the Bible said, who will ascend, that is, into the heavens to bring him down? What type of magic formula does it take to get God in you? What is the key unlocking the bringing down God into your inner being, to the inner court, where God said it pleased God to dwell in the Son? Now then, God became a dweller within as a pattern of the Son. The Son was nothing but a flesh temple that God, the eternal Spirit, purposed as he manifested himself into the earth in a spirit body dwelling in a flesh body. That's why that the Son said, well, the Father that dwelleth in me, he is greater than I. And the people say, well, you know, who's he talking about, him or his Father? And the Bible said they couldn't understand his speech. And every time he talked about the Father, they wanted to know where the Father was at. And each time he said, well, you need to know the Father know me, for had you known me, you'd have known the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, the Father was right in the very presence of them, speaking from the inner temple or the depths from the belly. And the Bible says, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 6, and I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, and the man stood by me, and he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne, and the place of the soles of my feet, where I shall dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. Isn't that amazing? Don't you understand that we just gave you the scripture for Christ dwells, God Almighty? He dwells in his people. And therefore, God, the eternal universal spirit, linking together and giving his children one by one to become in them as one. Now, notice this. I shall dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. Now, I spoke to you last night about the in the midst of the golden candlestick. This seven-pronged candlestick, in the midst of this candlestick, three on each side in the hyphen or the center of this candlestick stood the Son of Man. One likened to the Son of Man that gave us a new beginning here in the eighth approach to God. And so then this represents the flames of fire of a pattern developed exclusively for those who would know the inner secrets of how to approach God and what day to approach him on. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you just can't call him up any time. You just can't drop over and see God at any time. He may be on a vacation like Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal. Call on him a little louder if he don't come. Maybe, perhaps, pre-adventure, he's on a vacation, or maybe he's on a journey, or maybe he's sleeping, or, you know, the other things that Elijah alluded to about the prophet Baal. He will not answer. Baal and these false gods are gods of vivid gods, if you will, of the imagination. And the Bible said there's a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death, and from such turn away. There is a true God. His name is Yahweh. He's not really had another name. And really, there's no other God beside him, as he stated in Isaiah 44 and 6. He said he didn't know no other God. Then in Revelation 1:18, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Isaiah 44 and 6, he said, behold, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and beside me there is no God. Now, which one is which? Was it the God of the Old Testament that became the incarnate God of the flesh? Of course it was. Did that God lay down his life? Yes, he did. In a flesh body, it was impossible for God to die, because until the spirit left that body, he wouldn't die. Ladies and gentlemen, he could have walked off of that torture stake as simple as ABC, because he was Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He was Aleph and Toph. He was the pattern of all things that's been formulated in the earth, but he chose and willingly gave his life, and he gave it for a family tree. Now, the whole family in heaven and earth, after he rose, conquering death, hell, and the grave, he said, all power in heaven and earth is in me. Go and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father. This is the pattern that we're trying to get you to see. This is the only way that you can possess salvation. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, you know, there's many ways to God. Well, if there's many ways to God in one door, then all those ways must lead to one door. Uh-oh, now you got a problem. You can't come in the back door. You can't climb up some other way, because the scripture says, straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and a few that are be defined. You say gate. If we were to go with this denominational crap and the crap of the world, God so loved the world, when he told you not to love it. Let's get real here, ladies and gentlemen. You can serve God and mammon. You can have it both ways. You're going to have to make sacrifices and choose this day who you'll serve. That is a commitment, a sacrifice to worshiping the true God. Yes, there are commitments behind this, the action of faith. Faith is an action. Faith is a verb, moving forward. He that bends his hands to the plow and then looks back is not filled with the kingdom of God. There is no looking back after your faith is ignited and what turns you in the right way. If you look back,
Lord, Pastor Buddy, you just tell me it was going to be a hard time. Well, Pastor Buddy, you tell me why my wife didn't go to leave me. But Pastor, what do you think? Tell me that my husband was going to throw me out of my home.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me assure you one thing. The Bible says that if you love anything, the more that you love in the truth and the presence of God in you, or the pattern of the things He's chosen for you to follow after. Now, when you look funny, because I know some of the brothers that I alluded to last night went out into their, on their property, built an altar. Now, there were three cases that I know of. In one case, there is a woman that built her altar, and several cases, various women that have built them altar. So it's 6-1 how it does the others, and as far as they got no respect in the person, and it's neither male or female in the kingdom of heaven. When you step in the slime, the presence of God, it's your soul that matters, not your sexual identification. And so then, right now, there is a divine order here. Order comes your flesh by that. And you've got to meet that order. And that is that you become subject to the laws of the footwear. And if you're a woman, of course, you go to the woman's restroom. You go to use the restroom, and you don't go to a man. That's why they have marked men and women. When you are looking for clothes, you don't go to the men's. Well, women, let me back in that. Two-thirds of the women today go to the men's department and have their clothes and women. And out of the women's. But the whole sex, yes, they did. And there is a large segment of men that go over to the women's, but didn't mention it because they were to be feminists, being given over to reprobated men's, and so then the list of the femininity of the masculine virginity, and the man is perished and things become very feminine. Now it's because of the things they were eating, and the stuff they were bringing. And we're to reckon they are women's of the result, because in my last verses, Romans 1, 20, verses 11 to 28 would come into the year. And we all know about that. And some men show the house of iniquity, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. Here, ladies and gentlemen, here, given a committee, we shall first of the settings of threshold by my thresholds, and the post by my past. And that wall between me and them, they have defiled holy name by their abominations, for I have committed whatever, for I have consumed them, and my anger now let them away the whoredom and their carnesses of their kings beatness for me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever, and show them that they show them that they have the shame, they show their iniquity, but that they may measure the pattern. You have to believe this chapter is called, I'm confessing to you the rest of the story in the pattern line of what I face to please the heavenly sacrifice tonight, as we go forth in the second half, the appointed times. Back right here, and this is Pastor Freddie Morrison Shepherd's turn, and you're fine. We are talking about the pattern and something is ignitable. And you systematically specimen the pattern. For now, the testament is the full of the pattern. My Bible said if a man loves God and won't keep his commandments, he's a lover and a true thing. So you see, we're out of patterns, not in a law, but they're not under law. The law is in the man. The law of the law is on the carnal man. It's different from the law of that carnal worship. And there's of that nature, of course. But then there are certain aspects of the divine fellowship that you must do. There's a fellowship with God. Action. Then there's guilty. The faith action process. Action faith. A net action. Even now, let that move to believe God. He will believe as well. That there is devil God and believe as well. That devil believes you and trembles. He loves you the only one that you love. He loves the Greek God, the only son God. He's named the Greek God. He's Hebrew God. His name is Yahweh. Hebrew. He's the Jew. Hebrew, that's not the Jew. He's the God of Hebrews. Now, Hebrew is the God of Hebrews. It's not Hebrew. It's body. Cut up. The apostasy, the law of Shia, the sons of Israel, the apostasy, the law and sheep of the ones of Israel, return to them, and they are the ones of the retreat to them, your people, and very intent, your babies, and all the nations, will hate you, and accept all name my name all such. By the exit for Jesus is in and accept the information of Jesus if they wept it is all nothing few personal name of Yahweh. The first time of the Yahweh. The three names of the Yahweh. And then every one of them gets up there. Hallelujah. We want to get up. Hallelujah. And we have been allowed to ladies on and we have touched and they are allowed to send the builders, the testaments here are struck out of the bio colors and trans and the sign of the of artificial and dollar of artificial and to the scripture and so we speak not into scriptures and the king of the album and that is of the name said it's the name it's lost the name it's the name of the name in variety that he had learned increased the panic of the last and that he ever finished around radical to be of the temple to now people now fathers and in conversion. Now they said, go out and buy fathers in the name of Father, and we assumed and buy with in the name of your father, you are assumed steadily what the father's name was. But the fathers and others will show you to buy back fathers just before you are. Yet I'm in conversation with God, 14:1, and said, these revelations and what on had the father's name in the head, had the father's name in the forehead. The father's name is in the forehead, had the word famous written on the forehead. They didn't have the name of Yahweh written before, and of Yahweh, they had the strong of Yahweh, and the right of Joshua is a strong power, and are at the repetition. Let me show it, son and on feet, but now let me show the son of Israel that made change over the neck of Israel that made in jumbo there and echoes of man number five said he's in jumbo box and says keep his command and the first said he says it's Mark 12 keep his command it's first
of that we got under that Mark 12 passion and we got where we got under that permanent passion got it with the south we got him over permanent he's got the south we him over his man and Rob's Mark tonight that's because you're on against it and how to kill them or run against the law and against the law to try about it and against the law to kill them that is stupid what is so that is a group to the world, the divine covenant, and what I was for the divine covenant, and we would be for a divine covenant. We would be the people who are the us in the mean those without us not mean those and those without a call. What they're out of under their call, and there's more out under the law, and they are inward outlaws, and they are inward. Hebrews, November 10th, Hebrews, he says, I will put my law in them. He says, I will put my law in them. Either I walk outside the law, either I don't want the law, or you're outside the law, keeping the law, and or you're in the people, keeping the law. And he says, show people abomination. Show them that they defile my holy name, verse 8, that they defile the 43, verse 8, they have just defiled my holy name, they have their abomination, all my vain committed, and for that, and or I will consume them in my anger, that's for I consume them in my anger. Verse 24, you shall offer them before Yahweh, you shall offer them with salt, you shall cast salt. What is salt? It's a sign of, it's a pattern of preservingness. To be preserved before the eternal Father with a sanctified life, according to Romans 12:1, which is a reasonable service. Present yourself before God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, which is a reasonable service. That's what God demands. He will take nothing less. He's looking for the cream. Not the 2% or the 1% of the Blue John, we call it. He's looking for cream. He's looking for the elite. He's looking for the best. And ladies and gentlemen, he'll get them because he said that he will make up the number. Praise Yahweh. Now, notice salt. Let's go back and see as an established fact what salt's got to do with it and why that we ought to still be in salt covenant with the Father. Second Chronicles 13:5. Ought you not to know that the God of Israel, Yahweh, gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his son, that means his descendants, by a covenant of salt? Ladies and gentlemen, isn't it precious that we have a covenant, and this is the covenant that I will make? Salt is a pattern of things that God chose. Salt is a preservative. Salt is white. Salt is the presence of God as a salted sacrifice, holy, in the house of Yahweh. Remember, he will not dwell in an unclean vessel. So then your vessel must be clean and holy, and it must, as it is. Now let's look at the book of Luke, going to the book of Luke, and we're going to see another pattern here of Sabbath. And we've been on it all week long, praise Yahweh, and we see no reason at this point to break away from it, because we have really gone into some good stuff here. And let's go now to Elizabeth, John's mother, and see the birth of John. Verse 57, Luke 1. Now Elizabeth's full time came when she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how Yahweh had showed great mercy on her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child on the eighth day. Now, what day was the eighth day? According to John's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, the eighth day was a circumcision day. Christ identified that day there as a day of the Sabbath. So the eighth day is the Sabbath day, and we give you the formula, or we give you the pattern. Now, if you listen to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call, then you have no more covering for your sins. You need to salt yourself with fire and offer yourself up a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, and submit to the instruction of God's word and his ways, because the Bible said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And it'd been better for you to not to hear this than hear it and not obey it. The eighth day is the Sabbath. I'll challenge anybody in my listening. You see, all these preachers listen to me, but they're afraid to come on.
Say, well, that boy, he studied a few scriptures, so I bet he could trick a fellow up real easy.
We ain't looking to trick you. We're looking to cut your head off with the word of God. We're not those that want to be Mr. Nice Guy to you. We want to cut your head off if you're wrong, and you can grow you one on and be right. You got to lose that old head, that old flesh head you got, and come to the perfect understanding that God's pattern is the eight-day Sabbath, not the Sabbath. You work on the seventh day, you're working the last day of the work day of the week. And I can prove that to you by the development of the process of the moon and its cycles in the beginning of the month. Of course they don't use it in a Gregorian calendar, and neither do they use it in a Jewish calendar. They throw the moon out as they throw the baby out with the bathwater. They throw the truth of Christ, cast it to the ground, and yes, they prosper. They've got big buildings. Oh, wouldn't you like to join the Mormon Tabernacle Choir? Oh, we got one of the biggest churches in the United States, and you know God's going to come to our church when he comes back.
Well, I don't know about that. Have you ever been to Rome and seen the Roman Catholic Holy Church over there? Man, that is a awesome structure.
God does not dwell in stone temples.
Well, they're going to build a Mormon Jerusalem, that's what the Christians say.
They're so damn stupid, it ain't even funny. Looking to cut your head off with the word of God. We're not those that want to be Mr. Nice Guy to you. We want to cut your head off if you're wrong, and you could grow you one on and be right. You got to lose that old head, that old flesh head you got, and come to the perfect understanding that God's pattern is the eight-day Sabbath, not the Sabbath. You work on the seventh day, you're working the last day of the work day of the week. And I can prove that to you by the development of the process of the moon and its cycles in the beginning of the month. Of course they don't use it in a Gregorian calendar, and neither do they use it in a Jewish calendar. They throw the moon out as they throw the baby out with the bathwater. They throw the truth of Christ, cast it to the ground, and yes, they prosper. They've got big buildings. Oh, wouldn't you like to join the Mormon Tabernacle Choir? Oh, we got one of the biggest churches in the United States, and you know God's going to come to our church when he comes back.
Well, I don't know about that. Have you ever been to Rome and seen the Roman Catholic Holy Church over there? Man, that is an awesome structure.
God does not dwell in stone temples.
They're going to build one in Jerusalem. That's what the Christians say.
They're so damn stupid, it ain't even funny. Christians are the most gullible, dumbest cheat that I have ever seen. I've never seen the like of Christianity. How sorry and low down and perverted that they become. And it is a joke to go to these churches and listen to these dead, dumb dogs, DDs, you know, they've got big doctrinal degrees. I call them dumb dogs. Doctors of Divinity is what they're officially titled by. They went to school to learn how to deceive you, how to fleece you, how to take your money, how to build big buildings, build them bigger. If you build a better mousetrap, the world, the sheep, will beat a path to your door, and they'll get trapped in here, and then they'll start having babies, and we'll have showers for them in the basement, we'll have cookouts for them, we'll have single league, we'll have divorce league, we'll have this league, we'll have that league, and we'll get them involved in the community worship services, and they can't even. And they'll bring their money and lay it at our feet, ha ha ha, and we'll build bigger and better barns to catch them in. You fool! Christ don't dwell in a mortared building. You say, oh, but it sounds so good, Pastor Betty. We come out to your service and you idiots are standing out on an altar with a circle of salt. You got fire offering up fire. It looks so witchcraft. Did you know the Bible said that they will call good evil and evil good? Since when have they become pattern inspectors of the fruit that is produced with the truth? Truth will produce fruit that looks evil. Evil will produce fruit that looks good. Don't you know that Satan himself has changed himself into an angel of light? My heavens, ladies and gentlemen, my spirit is stirred within me. It came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise John. John circumcised the eighth day. What day do you think Christ was circumcised on?
I know Christ, now he was a Jew.
You damned complete idiot. You're damned if you believe that. The Bible says, he that believeth not the truth shall be damned. How much more shall you be worthy to escape the damnation of hell than those that have the gospel revelation looking right in his face and then throw stones at him? And Christ said, if they've hated me, they'll hate you. If you preach the same thing I'm preaching, well, the big debate in John chapter 7, verse 40, was where he was from. He wasn't no Jew. Ladies and gentlemen, how stupid can anybody be? They get up on their preach, well, Christ was a Jew. I know that Paul was a Jew. Glory to God. It says in the Bible that they were Jews. Where does it say that? Well, I know it's in there. I've heard my pastor preach on it many times. Well, evidently he had you in a trance-like state, or you're stupid, and you have no memory, and you're dumbed down, and you don't know what it's all about. Well, let me remind you that the lineage of Christ does not trace itself back to Judah. I beg your sweet pardon. The lineage of Christ and the offspring of Christ comes through the sons of Ephraim, Joseph. Paul said in the third chapter of the book of Philippians that he was circumcised on the eighth day and that he was a Benjamite. A Benjamite is not a Jew.
Well, darn. I didn't believe it anyway. I know what I believe.
Glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said they will cast the truth right to the ground. You think that Pastor Buddy would be welcome in the Roman temple of Rome? You believe that the Mormon elders would listen to an idiot like me preach?
No, they're too busy getting a revelation from their God. It's keep changing the scriptures as times go by. Joseph Smith wouldn't even recognize the Mormon church. If he came back, he'd faint. It is so different, so strange, and so alien. What Joseph Smith condemned in his day is now appropriate because the elder got up there and got another revelation. They pattern their stupidity right after the Pope of Rome. If you're following the Pope of Rome, you're just about as stupid as he is, because that's how stupid the Pope is. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you want to talk about my Pope? I'm talking about you. You're the stupid one. I can excuse the Pope. He ain't got no excuse. You ain't got no excuse for falling after the stupidity, bowing down to the idols and the things of this nature that they teach. And, of course, we've got the Babylonian church of the harlots that come out of her with the same name she promoted, Jesus. My God, my God. What's wrong with this world is that they will not receive the truth. They will cast it to the ground, and they hate and despise the prophets that preach with the authority and the inspiration of the Word of God. You can't deceive me on any page. I've been there. I've done that. I've looked at it. And so then I know what the next page says. After you're trying to figure out what that page is, I know what it says, and I've been over to the other page, and I've been plumb through the lineage. I've went through the genealogy. And Joseph went up from Galilee into the city of Nazareth, into the city of Judea. Oh, really? Because he was the house of the lineage of David. Did it say he was a Jew? No, it don't say he was a Jew. Well, does he say he was from Bethlehem, Judea? No! Don't say it was from Bethlehem, Judea. Verse 11. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. That's what it says here. Well, let's go back then to Matthew and get Matthew's account of it. Well, see, you got to do a little trapping here, ladies and gentlemen. You have a trapping? It's laying traps for, well, I ain't got time to lay this one here. Oh, my heavens. Read Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, and then read verse 6. He was born out of Bethlehem, Ephratah. That's not in Judea. Won't you wake up and smell a coffee here tonight? Pastor Buddy, give me a call. Praise y'all. If you got any man or woman about you, you could call Pastor Buddy up and we could talk about these things. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be deceived, just stay where you're at and go on to hell. If you like the truth, we'll give it to you. If you're man enough or woman enough to take it, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what the book says, and I didn't write it. I just believe the things it's wrote in there, but I don't believe everything that seems right. I believe everything that is right by proving all things. For in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established.
Time on this Sunday. Praise Yahweh.